A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce. Chapter 1, Part 1. Once upon a time, and a very good time it was, there was a moo cow coming down along the road, and this moo cow that was coming down along the road met a nice-ens little boy named Baby Tuckoo. His father told him that story. His father looked at him through a glass. He had a hairy face. He was Baby Tuckoo. The moo cow came down the road where Betty Byrne lived. She sold lemon plat.
"Oh, the wild rose blossoms on the little green place."
He sang that song. That was his song.
"Oh, the green rose blotheth."
When you wet the bed, first it is warm, then it gets cold. His mother put on the oil sheet. That had a queer smell. His mother had a nicer smell than his father. She played on the piano the sailor's hornpipe for him to dance. He danced tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-di, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. Uncle Charles and Dante clapped. They were older than his father and mother, but Uncle Charles was older than Dante. Dante had two brushes in her press. The brush with the maroon velvet back was for Michael Davitt, and the brush with the green velvet back was for Parnell. Dante gave him a cachou every time he brought her a piece of tissue paper. The Vances lived in number 7. They had a different father and mother. They were Eileen's father and mother. When they were grown up, he was going to marry Eileen. He hid under the table. His mother said, "Oh, Stephen will apologize." Dante said, "Oh, if not, the eagles will come and pull out his eyes. Pull out his eyes, apologize, apologize, pull out his eyes, apologize, pull out his eyes, pull out his eyes, apologize." The wide playgrounds were swarming with boys. All were shouting, and the prefects urged them on with strong cries. The evening air was pale and chilly, and after every charge and thud of the footballers, the greasy leather orb flew like a heavy bird through the grey light. He kept on the fringe of his line, out of sight of his prefect, out of the reach of the rude feet, feigning to run now and then. He felt his body small and weak amid the throng of the players, and his eyes were weak and watery. Rody Kickham was not like that. He would be captain of the third line, all the fellow said. Rody Kickham was a decent fellow, but Nasty Roach was a stink. Rody Kickham had greaves in his number and a hamper in the refectory. Nasty Roach had big hands. He called the Friday pudding dog in the blanket, and one day he had asked, "What is your name?" Stephen had answered, "Stephen Dedalus." Then Nasty Roach had said, "What kind of a name is that?" And when Stephen had not been able to answer, Nasty Roach had asked, "What is your father?" Stephen had answered, "A gentleman." Then Nasty Roach had asked, "Is he a magistrate?" He crept about from point to point on the fringe of his line, making little runs now and then, but his hands were bluish with cold. He kept his hands in the side pockets of his belted grey suit. That was a belt round his pocket, and a belt was also to give a fellow a belt. One day a fellow said to Cantwell, "I'd give you such a belt in a second." Cantwell had answered, "Go and fight your match. Give Cecil Thunder a belt, I'd like to see you. He'd give you a toe in the rump for yourself." That was not a nice expression. His mother had told him not to speak with the rough boys in the college. Nice mother. The first day in the hall of the castle, when she had said goodbye, she had put up her veil double to her nose to kiss him, and her nose and eyes were red. But he had pretended not to see that she was going to cry. She was a nice mother, but she was not so nice when she cried. And his father had given him 2 5-shilling pieces for pocket money. And his father had told him, if he wanted anything, to write home to him and, whatever he did, never to peach on a fellow. Then, at the door of the castle, the rector had shaken hands with his father and mother, his soutane fluttering in the breeze, and the car had driven off with his father and mother on it. They had cried to him from the car, waving their hands, "Goodbye, Stephen. Goodbye."
"Goodbye, Stephen. Goodbye."
He was caught in the whirl of a scrimmage, and fearful of the flashing eyes and muddy boots, bent down to look through the legs. The fellows were struggling and groaning, and their legs were rubbing and kicking and stamping. Then Jack Lawton's yellow boots dodged out the ball.